Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Well, baseball's back, so of course I'm going to start with a baseball story this morning. In the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play the Boston Bean Eaters. Yes, that's what I said, Bean Eaters. That's what they were called back then, the Boston Bean Eaters. The game heated up when Boston third baseman Tommy Foghorn Tucker slid into third base, and the legendary third baseman John McGraw of the Orioles kicked Tucker in the face. Within minutes, all the players from both teams had joined in the brawl. The warfare quickly spread to the grandstands. Among the fans, the conflict went from bad to worse because someone set fire to the stands and then the ballpark. Considered one of the most beautiful ballparks of its time, with striking twin spires rising from each corner of the Grand Pavilion, the ballpark burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other Boston buildings. It was a hot game, sure enough, the Boston Globe reported. All that destruction occurred because one player got angry with another. One of the questions we all have to deal with from time to time is what to do with our anger. We are all well aware of the negative results of anger. Anger can cause us to do some really dumb things. Recently, I heard a ridiculous joke that tickled my funny bone. Now, I've been here for 17 years almost, and I don't think I've ever before told a bar joke from the bullpen. But this one perfectly illustrates the problems we can cause for ourselves, if not others, when we get angry. It's about a man who walks into a bar and says, "Bartender, give me two shots." The bartender asks, "You want them both now or one at a time?" The guy says, "Oh, I want them both now. One's for me and one's for this little guy here." And the man pulled out another man out of his pocket. He was only 3 inches tall. The bartender asked, "He can drink?" The man said, "Oh, sure, he can drink." So the bartender pours a shot, and sure enough, the little guy drank it all up. "That's amazing," said the bartender. "What else can he do? Can he walk?" The man flicked a quarter to the end of the bar and says, "Hey, Jake, go get that." And the little guy ran to the end of the bar, picked up the quarter, and then ran back and returned it to the man. The bartender, in total shock, said, "That's amazing." He says, "What else can he do? Can he talk?" The man says, "Sure, he talks." Then he turns to the little man and he says, "Hey, Jake, tell the bartender about that time we were hunting in Africa and you just had to go and call the witch doctor an idiot." People do stupid things when they get angry, like calling a witch doctor an idiot. Before, that guy went from being 6 feet tall to being 3 inches tall. He should have probably heard the words of Jesus that said we should never call anyone a fool, which I believe would be the same thing as calling him an idiot. But seriously, think how often real damage has been done because someone could not control his or her anger. One of the biggest recent Broadway hits, biggest hits in history of Broadway, has been the musical Hamilton. My wife, Kristen, has seen it 7 times. The show has achieved both critical acclaim as well as box office success. In 2016, the musical Hamilton received a record-setting 16 Tony nominations, winning 11, including Best Musical, and was also the recipient of the 2016 Grammy Award for Best Musical Theater Album and the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. The musical, of course, is about the life of Alexander Hamilton. What most of us probably remember from our school days about Alexander Hamilton is how he died. Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr were two of our most prominent founding fathers. Hamilton was the former Secretary of the Treasury, and Burr, believe it or not, was the sitting Vice President of the United States. And yet, at Weehawken, New Jersey, on July 11th, 1804, these two men fought a duel with pistols. You think politics are bad today? Politics are a cakewalk in comparison to what it was in 1804. The duel was the culmination of a long and bitter rivalry between the two men. Tensions reached a boiling point when Hamilton defamed Burr's character in a New York political campaign. In the duel, Burr shot and mortally wounded Hamilton, who died the next day. Burr survived the duel, but the harsh criticism and animosity directed toward him following that duel brought an end to his political career. Aaron Burr is an instance of a gifted and able man who permitted hatred and anger to get the best of him. Later, he confessed that it would have been wiser for him if he'd taken the sensible view that the world was big enough for both Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. What a tragic waste of human life. But my friends, you know as well as I do that it happens all the time. I saw some statistics that revealed that over a 7-year period, beginning in 2013 and ending in 2020, road rage alone resulted in 12,610 injuries and over 218 murders on our nation's highways. When we lose our temper, we are in danger of hurting others as well as ourselves. Anger, indeed, can be a deadly emotion. But does that mean that it's always wrong to be angry? Not at all. Anger, like all our emotions, is a gift from God. It can either be a positive in our lives or it can be a negative. There are times when a Christian ought to get angry. Jesus was angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple. They had turned a place of worship into what he called a den of robbers. The money changers were originally an answer to a problem raised by Roman coinage. Roman coins had on them the image of Caesar. Since they carried a graven image, they were unacceptable for temple ceremonies. The people were then forced to change the Roman coins into coins that were acceptable. Those of you who have traveled abroad have probably traded currency at a little shop set up for that purpose. It can be a very profitable enterprise for the money changer. The money changers Jesus confronted, however, had brought their little shops right into the temple itself. Even worse, they were also selling sacrificial animals right there in the temple precincts. They were clearly running the risk that an animal might get loose and violate the sanctuary. Worse than that was the competitiveness among the shopkeepers vying for the business of the worshipers. The most sacred shrine of the Jews had become a tawdry, commercialized circus. And this made Jesus mad, and he wasn't going to take it anymore. This was Jesus's father's house, and they had desecrated it. Suddenly, he was turning over tables, scattering coins across the pavement. Then he took a whip, and he forced the traders out of the temple and drove the sacrificial animals out into the courtyard. When the dust finally cleared, people probably wondered what had hit them. Nobody, however, protested according to our scripture. Everybody knew down deep that Jesus was right. Christ's example tells me that there are times when a Christian ought to get angry. Angry is a great motivator, Martin Luther King used to say. When I'm angry, I preach well and I pray better. Anger sometimes is the only emotion that will get people into action to solve a personal or societal problem. The slave trade in Great Britain came to an end because a deeply religious man, William Wilberforce, became angry. He saw human beings being treated like cattle, and he resolved that he would give his life to seeing that practice obliterated from the homeland. There are some things that ought to make you angry as well. There are times when the proper response to a bad situation is to get angry. Let me give you a lighter example with which most of you can relate. How do you feel about those irritating, unsolicited phone calls that you get around mealtime asking you to buy some product or that you just won something or that you're getting some kind of refund? Even though, like me, you've been put on the no-call list. Has that ever made you just a little bit angry? Or worse, how about those spam emails? You know, the ones that you get that tell you that you are going to receive all kinds of money if you just simply send them the fee so they can send you the money? I saw a video on YouTube this past week about a guy who fought back against an email scanner. It was funny, to say the least. His strategy was to simply reply to the email scam by simply typing, okay. Every email he got from them, all he responded was, okay. Finally, the scammer gave up. Now, I'm not advocating that we stoop to the level of those who make us angry, but I am saying that it's ridiculous to say that a Christian never get angry. Jesus got angry. There are times when Christians ought to get angry about some of the inequities and injustices in our world. How could Wilberforce not get angry over slavery in his own country? How could Dr. King not get angry over segregation in this land? So how could Christian people not get angry over some of the injustices that are committed in our country and around the globe, like hunger, or poverty, or sexual abuse, or terrorism? And yes, my friends, the list goes on and on. Maybe the greatest sin that you and I commit is not getting angry often enough, angry over some of the injustices that still exist in this world. Of course, we're not to get angry over petty things. People do stupid things when they get angry. For example, we should never call a witch doctor an idiot. But there are some things that should make us angry. When the weak are trampled upon, when children are abused, when the poor are taken advantage of, when the homeless are neglected. Anger, in fact, can be a great motivator. Sometimes, it's necessary to get angry over the right things. Amen.